kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, Fox?
Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is the 21st day of October. Glad you're with us. A few minutes after 8 now. If you're downloading the podcast, we appreciate you checking in with us. We know it's not always easy to listen to all 4 hours, so you can always download the podcast. For anything you missed, if you're on the Odyssey app, you can hit the rewind button. You can watch us on Facebook, YouTube, X, of course, Rumble now, and we're on there for you every day. So we're just trying to make it as easy as possible for you to tune in. Thank you for that. We've talked a lot about the elections. Obviously, it's a week from tomorrow, but open voting basically starts tomorrow in Missouri. It's already been going on over in Illinois. So don't make yourself one of those people that waits till the last minute. There's just no reason for it. It's just so easy. Let's preload the ballot boxes here while we can. There's been good reports out of some of the swing states, Pennsylvania, Georgia, that Republican early voting numbers are up 25, 30, 40% this year over what they were in 2020.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
That's what we need.
Yes.
We need, because we have traditionally been the people that want to go on election day. Gives you that little bit of energy. You feel good. You're out there among the people. But it doesn't matter if you go early. You can still get that same feeling.
Yeah, you get your sticker. Don't worry. I know everyone likes to post the selfie with this I voted sticker.
I know. My mom voted absentee, and they still send you a sticker. There was a sticker in the envelope with that, so she could
people love it.
Proudly wear it around that you voted. But get it done. We'll continue talking more about that. I don't know if you saw Donald Trump at McDonald's this weekend, but I'm going to talk to Jesse Jane Duff about that, the size of some of the crowds that have been turning out, and just even lining his route on the way to the McDonald's, there were tons of people. It's pretty amazing what the reaction is in different parts of the country, particularly in Pennsylvania and North Carolina. I think he's going to spend the next couple of days. We'll get to Jesse Jane coming up. We'll get to Tom Ackerman and maybe talk a little bit more about the World Series. Since the Cardinals are in a bit of a drought, the Dodgers and the Yankees are going to take up the slack. And a former Cardinal put one of those teams in the World Series yesterday. So we'll talk to him about that as well. But first, here's a look at this morning's shortlist.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
He who has vowed he would be a dictator on day one. He who calls Americans who disagree with him the enemy from within.
I don't know, Kamala. Maybe he's talking about you. It could be altogether possible. What he's talking about are people that want to spend every day tearing down this country instead of figuring out ways to make it great again.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
That was the McDonald's appearance yesterday. Donald Trump's taking pictures out the drive-through window. He's flipping fries into the boxes and filling them up and handing them out. It was something to see.
We found over 6,000, maybe 6,300, I believe, people who identified that they were not citizens and yet they're on the voter rolls.
That's the lieutenant governor, I think, running for governor in Virginia, and Winsome Sears. Why in the world did we have 6,500 non-citizens on the voter rolls, and why did Democrats want to keep them there?
And Trump, my first question was, what do you think is the most important issue facing our nation? So my first question for you is, give me the exact number of murderers you let loose in this country.
I'm glad you brought up the topic of immigration.
A million, 2 million?
Okay. The first thing we did in office was to introduce a bill.
10 million, give me a number.
We came up with a bipartisan
bill. But did it have a number, though?
May I please please finish?
I'm asking you to.
Well, then you have to listen.
Well,
all right, SNL had to roll out Alec Baldwin. Did they get him out of jail somewhere? Where did he come from? Where did he been? Where's he been hiding?
He was, I always forget. Was he the actor who was out there just raging against Trump when he was in court?
Oh, yeah. When he was
in
office. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, when he was in court, right?
No, that was De Niro.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh. Okay. But Alec Baldwin hates Trump, too.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same kind of Trump
derangement syndrome. Birds of a feather flock together, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. But Baldwin had kind of been keeping a low profile since the shooting on the set of Rust. So I was a little surprised to see him back on SNL last night or Saturday night. Not that I watched. I watched the clip from it.
Well, the clips have been pretty funny over the last couple of weeks.
Well,
I'll give
it to Maya Rudolph, because she just nails the other part.
Yep.
But to get Alec Baldwin in there, supposedly showing the alleged bias by Bret Baier for actually asking the hard questions that other journalists wouldn't ask when Kamala was sitting in front of them. He continued.
Can't, because I'm talking.
Well, when will you stop?
Maybe when I go to bed.
Okay. Bret, look. The only candidate who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. I brought down the Sinaloa cartel. I brought down the Guadalajara cartel. If I was in Breaking Bad, it would have ended in 3 episodes.
Did you see the Babylon Bee put, this is satire, by the way, if you're not familiar with it, but Harris complained she was not informed the interview would include questions.
It's pretty sad. It is. She did an appearance with Lizzo. Remember Lizzo, the singer? Didn't Lizzo kind of step back from the public eye after she got sued?
Well, she got sued, but then wasn't she having like mental health struggles because she said people were fat shaming her, and then she went and lost all this weight. Wasn't that her? But she's made her living basically off telling women, you know, how dare anyone tell you that you shouldn't be 500 pounds, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's her. She made an appearance, and it was really kind of embarrassing because she did not at all say what the Harris campaign would have liked her to say. She basically said, if you elect Kamala Harris, she'll make America just like Detroit. She clearly, since she grew up in Detroit, doesn't realize that everybody else thinks of Detroit as one of the crap holes in the United States. Honestly. Ryan Rucker would get mad at me for saying that because he lives up there now. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, but
it's just not a destination for most people.
I'm born and raised right here in the city of St. Louis, and I don't think the rest of the country should look like the city of St. Louis, at least in its current state.
Yeah.
I can acknowledge that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's pretty proud of that. She's pretty proud, in fact, of Detroit in general. But these were part of her comments that she made in support of Kamala Harris. Listen.
Made in Detroit. Coney Dogs, Faygo, and Lizzo. I'm so proud to be from this city. You know, they say if Kamala wins, then the whole country will be like Detroit.
Oh, I bet it will.
Oops. And Kamala then stayed on stage for about 6 minutes. Donald Trump in his rally spoke for almost an hour and a half.
Well, and this was after he had already worked his shift to the McDonald's.
I know.
Then he went to the rally. And then on top of that, did you see the video from the Steelers game? They went nuts, chanting
USA. When they
USA,
realized he was up there.
USA.
Yeah. I saw that. Imagine having to go from McDonald's, and he didn't change shirts. Straight. He probably smelled like $1 million. He smelled like French fries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. No matter, people were so happy to see him. All right, coming up, we'll get to Jesse Jane Duff. I would obviously want to ask her about that and the Trump comments this weekend about Hillary. Then we got Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour to talk a little bit more about maybe the Blues and the upcoming World Series, which is going to include the left and right coast and nobody in between. We'll be back in just a minute.
Mr. President, you actually have worked at McDonald's now versus...
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala.
Are you going to put this on your resume?
She never worked here.
Why don't you lie about
15 minutes more than
like
Kamala.
So will be put on your resume?
Worked at McDonald's.
Why would she lie about
say,
that?
Why did, because she's lying, Kamala, that's why. Why would she lie? She shouldn't lie about it. McDonald's confirmed 4 times now she never worked. She never worked here. But that's, let's not talk about that.
Yes, sir.
It's an amazing business. It's an amazing country. and we're going to make America greater than ever before.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
All right, Jesse Jane Duff on the phone right now. Jesse Jane, I understand that by the time Trump left McDonald's, even the ice cream machine was working.
Exactly. And you know what? If you can fix a McDonald's ice cream machine, you can fix America.
Anything.
He might win on that alone.
You could do that. Actually, I saw a meme that said Elon Musk showed up and fixed the ice cream
machine. Oh, yeah, yeah. He could do that. No doubt about it. It's been a pretty good week for the president.
Phenomenal opportunity he had. I mean, first of all, he did four different visits yesterday. He did a Howie Kern show. He basically had done a town hall. He went to McDonald's, and then he went to the Pittsburgh Steelers game. All of this is in one day. Meanwhile, we watch clips of Kamala Harris trying to talk about him like he's Joe Biden. They're hiding him. He can't come out in public. They don't want him to speak. I'm like, who's writing her script? Because he literally is hitting multiple events a day, if not multiple states a day. He's basically barnstorming the entire country, and Pennsylvania has moved in his direction. He was never ahead in any swing state in 16 or 20. Now he's ahead in just about every swing state by double or triple numbers. And guess what? I'm sorry, not double or triple. I'm sorry, 2 or 3 points when he was down 2 or 3 points previous elections.
Yes.
So this is a huge leap considering where he had been previously in 2020.
Yeah, you know, Kim and I were listening to an interview this morning with a New York Times reporter talking about the polling, admitting that there were problems in 2016 and problems in 2020 with either the national or the local state polls. And they don't know what to make of what's going on this year. And I'm like, well, what you make of it is that before they were under polling him. If he's under polling now, he may be up by 5 points in some of these swing states.
Exactly. But the movement is, you can't tell the American people that the economy is better, that the country is better, and that they're going to turn the page when she hasn't done it for almost 4 years.
Yes.
This ultimately is a lousy campaign by the Harris-Waltz campaign. Waltz even was on tape saying at an event how tired they are. Huh. We are exhausted. Like, are you all listening to yourself? And it came out this morning by John Solomon that his state's policy, fiscal policy, ranks 50th out of 50 states. She really grabbed from the bottom of the barrel when she went and got Tim Walz to get the worst fiscal policy governor on her ticket. There's nothing that she can give me or any American that tells us that the future will be brighter and better. This turn the page mindset should have happened 3.5 years ago. Meanwhile, Americans are watching veterans get pulled out of their homeless crisis so that the resources can go to illegal immigrants. We've seen that the FEMA money, all exhausted because supposedly it's gone to illegal immigrants. We see the threat of wars enabling Iran, Houthis, Hamas, Hezbollah on the rampage against Israel. We see Russia and Ukraine still playing footsie and killing each other. Nothing has gotten better under this administration, regardless of what they try to say. And, you know, Americans notice every time they go to the grocery store, every time they get their gas, every time they look at their wages that went down 3% instead of up 8%, according to under the Trump administration.
Well, what Americans have also noticed is that CBS News, when they did the 60 Minutes interview with Kamala Harris, they altered it. They put out a different version a couple days later, likely because of the backlash. Now they're denying it and saying we never did. Well, why will they not release the full transcript of the interview if that's the case? What are they hiding?
Exactly. We know that they've altered it, and this is basically flagrant election interference by a number one network. Well, was once a number one network. Now it's the Mark Cox Show. We know that.
Thank you very much.
Nationwide. But when we look at this, you know, this is the same game they played in 2020, but the difference now is we have Elon Musk not suppressing information that actually is often getting suppressed right there on Facebook still to this day. And they're so outraged over Elon Musk campaigning, but they said nothing when Mark Zuckerberg Zuckerbucks were going into Democrat neighborhoods and pushing millions upon millions of dollars to influence the election. Nobody cared when that billionaire got involved. But now that Elon is actually campaigning on the ground, speaking openly with the public, talking, not trying to do this underhanded, seedy stuff. He's basically out there saying exactly why he's his opportunity for Donald Trump to become the president of the United States is so incredible. Being an immigrant from a foreign country, understanding that the dynamics of what brought him here are on the threshold of possibly collapsing. Americans relate to this. And young men, they're tired of being beaten up, told what that they're toxic and toxic masculinity. And here comes Elon Musk saying, be the strongest male you can be.
That's right. I love it. I love what Elon's done so far. Jesse Jane, I got 30 seconds. Where's your next appearance for Veterans for Trump?
I will be out in Arizona working with a campaign. We're going to have Tim Cotton, Kerry Lake, Abe Hamadon, a variety of veterans that are going to be in Arizona on the 29th. And I will be in Pennsylvania from the 1st all the way through the 4th on a bus tour. I am so excited. Pennsylvania, I'm going to bring the heat. It won't be cold. Trust me, you guys are going to feel the warmth once I get into the state.
Excellent. Got to run.
Everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
The great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom, I know you have the ear of a Cardinals management. There's a player I think we should go after. His name is Tommy Edman.
Okay.
Tell me
about him.
Wait. He was with the Cardinals.
He was.
And
actually, you know,
he had a great night last night.
He actually credited the Cardinals in his post-game interview with kind of helping him with a lot of different things. One, playing in the postseason. In 2019, he was our best hitter.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Cardinals' best hitter in 2019 in the NLCS against the Dodgers. Against the Nationals, no doubt about it. And the fact that he played multiple positions. So when he came over to the Dodgers and they said, hey, play center field. And, well, I did that with the Cardinals. They transform me into a center fielder. Hey, play shortstop. Well, I did that too. Anything else you want me to do? So, you know, that is a really good thing. The bad thing, obviously, is seeing another former Cardinal have success. I mean, at this rate, Paul Goldschmidt's going to win the ALCS MVP next year with the Astros or something, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what? There's a couple things here. One is that nobody said at the time, this is a terrible deal. They got to hold on to Edman. Edman was injured, and Edman was not playing in a position where the Cardinals didn't have a spot. Well, first of all, he wasn't playing. He was injured.
Right.
Secondly, Mason Wynn was the shortstop. They had set on center field was going to be grown between Michael Ciani and Victor Scott and Lars Nootbaar. And so they decided the best course of action is let's go get a starter now. And they went and got Eric Fetty. Yeah, Tommy Pham was in the deal too, but they wanted Eric Fetty. They wanted a starter controllable. So I understand that going back. It doesn't make me feel any better, but I get that point of it. Bernie Miklas and Kevin Wheeler brought that up to me when we talked about it last week in our roundtable. So it's frustrating. I mean, you've got Adolis Garcia won an CS MVP. Randy Arozarena won a CS MVP. There's no doubt that the Cardinals have identified talent. The question is, have they created the right pathways for these people to have great success as Cardinals? Edman would qualify as someone who did both. He had a great success as a Cardinal, and he did it for 5 years. So it is true they can draft and develop players. They did it with Edman. It just turns out he's a heck of a guy. I love the guy. I'm going to be rooting for him. I don't like the Dodgers, but I'll be hoping that he has great success. And that's all I can feel is to be happy for the guy. The Cardinals at this point are going a totally different direction. They are going to concentrate on young players, and they are going to try to grow this development system so that this never happens again. That they grow young stars and that they are able to hang on to those stars and watch them succeed as Cardinals. And in the meantime, if they miss on a position, that's where they'll go sign a free agent and patch it up. It's going to be a tough couple of years if you're expecting success and going on to win a World Series. But, you know, I think in 2 years, if they get out of the way and let Heim Bloom do this, they will be an absolute machine because you've got the Tampa Bay Rays brain right. trust in Bloom and the brand and potentially the free agent money that could come from the Cardinals to become what everybody hoped they would be and what they actually used to be. They used to be a beast. So maybe we're paying for all of this, you know, what people used to call Cardinals devil magic, where the Cardinals would just, here's our next big star, here's our next one. And people would be like, where are the Cardinals getting all these people? Who's this guy? And now we're paying for it. We're watching all these people go off and have success on other teams.
Wasn't it the Rays Stadium, Tropicana, that was impacted by
Hurricane Milton? Had its roof torn off, yeah. So it's still uncertain where they're going to play. Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, our business guy this morning we were talking to, Dom, is a big East Coast guy, so he's anxious to see the Yankees in it again after all these years. I'm like, I don't know if most people in this middle of the country are going to care.
Oh, I think it's great for baseball, actually, and I'll tell you why. The Dodgers and the Yankees are two of the biggest brands in the game, and there are a lot of people who don't pay attention to baseball. Not like us. I mean, we're in St. Louis, so we all pay attention to the baseball, and we're into the Cardinals. A lot of people in the country don't watch baseball, and they know who Shohei Ohtani is, though. They know who Aaron Judge is.
For better or for worse, I guess they know who he is.
They know who Aaron Judge is. They know who Juan Soto is. And so these are the best players in the game, and they are now going to be paying attention to baseball. So that's a good thing for baseball, is that two of their biggest brands and their two biggest markets are going head-to-head. It will be an entertaining series.
So I suppose now, at some point, I'm looking to see how much time we have left, we have to talk about, like, Indiana football.
College game day, baby.
I heard that rumor. Drew Young came
There's
in.
There's no
said,
rumor.
You got to mention, because Tom was really fired up about the fact that
it's no rumor. Game I mean, college coming. Game day, the biggest show on television, is in Bloomington. And yes, I am going.
When is the last time that happened?
How did they get
2017
picked?
Opener against Ohio State. This is the best Indiana team of my lifetime. They are 7-0. Yeah. They have blown out all seven teams they've played. They killed Nebraska on Saturday, 56-7.
I saw that.
Wow.
They
That's
are impressive. The real deal. Now, their quarterback is hurt and out for the game. So Taven Jackson is their backup quarterback. So, you know, it never is easy in this game.
Who are they playing this week?
Washington.
Yeah. Number one, right? No, not number one.
Oregon's number one.
I just thought Oregon's the number, Oregon number is one. Number one for the first time in how long? I mean, there wasn't
Oregon
there a big
shakeup
over the
Oregon
weekend?
Oregon since 2012. Oregon's great. Washington beat, or Georgia beat Texas, so that knocked Texas out of number one, so Georgia's now two.
How do you think Mizzou's going to fare against Alabama?
I think they can be competitive against Alabama. Alabama's defense is not great. I think Missouri with an amazing story over the weekend. I mean, they're going to have to play a lot better overall, but what an incredible story.
Comeback, yeah.
Brady
yeah.
Cook. Gets hurt, first series of the game. This guy's been criticized up and down. Gets hurt, hurts his ankle. People are out tailgating, and this car goes by with a trainer driving it, and Brady Cook's in the car. People are like, did our quarterback just go by? What the heck's going on? They drove Brady Cook to the hospital. The guy sat in the hospital for 2 hours, got an MRI, not knowing what's going on in the game, comes back to the stadium, puts his uniform back on, and goes to the coach. Drinkwitz is like, are you good enough to play? He said, I am playing. They put Brady Cook back in the game. They shot him up with something. And he wins the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they
I didn't
don't know,
know
what,
he got to the hospital.
I didn't know either. I just knew
that.
Injury to his ankle. But what did they ever determine
Two
happened?
Unbelievable drives. And Missouri guts one out and saves the season. And they lost the game to Auburn. They're done.
Yeah.
It's over. Cook drives him 17 plays, 95 yards, runs for first downs on a bum ankle, throws darts to his receiver, and Mizzou wins. It's an incredible story. It's a storybook story for Brady Cook, the St. Louis kid. And so now they go down to Alabama. I think they can give him a game. The problem is Alabama cannot lose another game.
No, they can't.
They've lost two. They just dropped one, and they can't lose another one.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, you're facing a team that is wounded and probably will beat you. But they can give them a game.
Yeah.
They've got to get the ball to Burden, though.
You have fun this weekend, buddy. I'm jealous. That's fantastic.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah. I can't believe it. I can't believe my team is ranked 13th in the country and undefeated. Yeah. But here we are.
Good luck.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. Tom Ackerman there and rooting for his Hoosiers this weekend to win that game. That's awesome. Good for them.
Yeah, undefeated. I'm not going to lie. When he said that College Game Day was going to Indiana, I'm like, really?
Indiana?
Really? Okay. Well, it sounds like they're having a really great season. I'm not following those teams, you know.
Our friend Lauren is bragging about Illinois, too, because obviously
Illinois did beat Michigan. Yes, they did. They are having a great season.
That's a big deal.
Yep.
That's a big deal for them.
Well, so. And unfortunately, City SC did not have a great season. And I know we ran out of time with Tom, but I wonder if they're going to be looking to make changes or if they would need to have another consecutive bad season to then feel like they need to do that.
I don't know.
Because there was just a coaching shake. Anyway, I don't know. I don't follow soccer super closely. I'd like to go to a game, a match. Never been. I think it's cool we have it for the city, but it's just not something that I'm super into.
As MLB has proven, it's not always the most expensive roster that wins, although this year it will be. Between the Dodgers and the Yankees, that's got to be the two most expensive rosters in Major League Baseball. So maybe it's a matter of city just spending more money, because first year they won, they shocked everybody. They had like the lowest payroll in professional soccer. So
city did?
Yeah.
Well, is it because we're giving away the money for reparations or for low-income families? They each get their $500 a month?
I think the Taylor family just got lucky. They just got caught lightning there. But maybe moving forward, they're going to have to spend a little more money on some players. And I don't know much about soccer. I'm just commenting on professional sports in general. It certainly can make a difference. All right, coming up, we're going to talk more about Amendment 2 and Amendment 3 and the voter guide. We'll be right back.
Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
If it look like a duck, walk like a duck, and quack like a duck, it's a duck.
It's a duck, and it's a lie. You know, I sit here and I listen because I am a captive audience at my radio station, and I hear these Amendment 2 ads, like the one that just aired there a second ago, and I'm screaming at the microphone, even though it's not on, that's a lie. You know, I mean, here's the deal. The FCC makes these rules so that if somebody can afford a political campaign ad, your station is pretty much forced to sell it to them. Unless for some legal reason you can prove that what they're saying is a lie. What I'm telling you is the Amendment 2 ad that just aired, the person is reading a lie. She said this. There's a strong constitutional guarantee that any new money has to go to schools. Any new money generated has to go to schools. That's the key to the lie right there. Over and over again in these ads, and Ozzie Smith is guilty of this too, because there's one running on TV with Ozzie Smith on it, claiming $100 million, over $100 million will go to our schools. It's a lie. They have no guarantee of how much money will ever be raised by sports betting. None whatsoever. They have no way of knowing how much money will be raised. Plus, it says right in the amendment, I would challenge you. Go to sos.mo.gov. Go to the Secretary of State's website. Look up the amendments. Read the legal language. It says it could raise anywhere from $0 to up to $28 million a year. So what these people have done is take that $28 million figure and extrapolate it over 4 years to claim that it would raise $100 million for schools. But there is no guarantee to that, because it's a law filled with loopholes. The casino industry has written the amendment. Their lawyers wrote it, and they have so many loopholes where they get to subtract all of these expenses before they ever have to declare a profit. And until they declare a profit, the state doesn't get a dime. Schools don't get a dime. That's what you need to understand. Again, if you like sports betting, go do it. I don't care. But don't lie to me about why you want to make it legal. Mm-hmm. You want to make it legal because you're going to make millions of dollars off of it for the casino industry and maybe for these big sports teams.
I'd be curious to hear what teachers who are listening right now, what they think about this, because this has to be frustrating for them to listen to this if they've actually looked into it and realized this isn't going to benefit them the way that they're saying it is. You even mentioned last week on the show, Mark, about how Channel 5 did a fact check on this claim that it's going to help the schools, and they too came to the same conclusion you have.
Yeah, it says false. Yep. In fact, I know a guy who's an assistant principal at a local district. We're friends on Facebook, and he put out there, well, I'm going to vote for Amendment 2, but only because it's going to give more money to the schools. And I'm like, That's a lie. Mm-hmm. Go read it for yourself. Don't listen to these stupid commercials that tell you the same lie over and over and over again and dangle $100 million out there, because there is no guarantee that's ever going to happen. If you want to vote for it because you want to bet on sports, go for it. But don't vote on it because you think the money's going to go to schools. There's just no guarantee of it. That's the bottom line. So here's the deal. Tomorrow morning on the show, we're going to let you listen in on a debate between somebody who's pro-abortion and pro-choice. And this focuses on Amendment 3, which is on the ballot. We've talked about it extensively. You know how Kim and I feel about it. But Brian Westbrook and Jeff Smith are going to debate this on the air tomorrow morning right here on the radio station. So I want to promote that now so you can tune in tomorrow and you can hear this, and we'll see how it goes. Have a great day. Kilmeade's up next. Kim and Carl and Ethan and Sue and I will see you tomorrow morning. Stay tuned.